Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord, the 8th chapter of Romans, the 18th verse. Paul says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." Please be seated. I almost had to miss worshiping with you today. Something happened over the weekend. My 97-year-old grandmother, she had a fall up in Wisconsin. And when you're 97 years old and the injuries that she sustained with the fall, we thought that she was going to get her call to be with the Lord this weekend. So Sunday night, I went up to Wisconsin for a quick 24-hour trip. And I'm glad to report that she's stable for the moment while she waits for her call from the Lord. But going there and seeing my grandmother, the Lord spoke to me through that episode with a message that is right in line with this day, All Saints Day. In fact, it's parallel to this marvelous scripture in the 8th chapter of Romans, the 18th verse. Here in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, Paul sort of inserts something. See, on the one side of it, in 8:17, Paul was talking about the necessary sufferings that all of us are going to experience as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the other side of it, in the 19th verse, he talks about the anxious longing of the creation. Even the creation realizes the frustration and the hardship of this life. It longs to when Christ comes and there is a newness. Caught in between those two pictures of suffering, Paul gives us a golden encouragement that you need and I need today. In the midst of all the talk about life being hard, as it is when you're a follower of Christ, Paul says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." There is something better to look forward to beyond this life. And that's what Paul gives to you and me. The Spirit of God through the Apostle gives to you and me on this All Saints Day a reminder of something better. A reminder of something better. And we need that. We need a reminder of something better because it's so easy to forget that our real life is not this life. We need a reminder of something better as we walk through these days. I love what Paul says. He says, "I consider." For most of us, we don't have time to consider. We're moving to the next assignment. We're moving to the next job. We're going on to the next project. I don't know about you, but I don't take regular time to consider like I should and to keep perspective on what life really is. What life really is. To have a real perspective on life. To have a God perspective on life. An eternal perspective where you've got one eye on what's right in front of you, but you also always have an eye on what's coming yet. When we only have an eye, both eyes on this life, it always gets us in trouble. You know, when you judge this life by who you are, or what you have, or what you do, it never is satisfying. There's never enough. You always get disappointed. Even though in this life, as we judge life by what's right in front of us, sometimes it looks exciting at the beginning. You know what it's like? It's like what most of us are going to see on television the next couple of months. We're seeing those movie previews of all the holiday movies that are coming out, the teasers. And you see that preview and you say, I want to see that movie. And you make plans for you or maybe your family to go to that movie. You set a date once it's released and you go and you buy your ticket and you go into the theater. You've done that before and you watch the movie. You live through the movie and you come out saying, is it possible for me to get my money back? Because it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be. How many times haven't you wanted your money back from what you invested in this life? Oh, we need a reminder. We need a reminder that there's something better. And for us who are church workers, it's especially true. Dedicating our lives to caring for people. Whenever you put those two words together, care and people, it's always messy. It's always got suffering with it. And you, preparing to go into ministry and willing to do it, even taking on debt, and willing to do it, even knowing that you're never going to have a 40-hour work week, and willing to do it, even though you know that as you seek to bring to people the prime enemy of the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ, as you seek to bring him to people with his good news of life and salvation, you instantly make yourself a target. His arrows are going to be headed for you. By definition, his arrows of frustration headed for you, discouragement headed for you, pain headed for you, suffering headed for you. And you already know about it now. Even in this place. Never enough money, is there? Never enough time, is there? But there's always plenty of stress and plenty of suffering and plenty of difficulty. I just want to encourage you this day from this scripture. Don't forget to look beyond this life. Listen to Paul. He says, I consider that. I think he's saying, I weighed it out. I've given it a lot of thought. He says, I've watched a lot of life. I've meditated on a lot of God's promises, and I have concluded that the sufferings of this present world, though tough, though overwhelming, though sometimes make you want to give up, though sometimes make you want to say, it's not worth it. The sufferings of this present world, Paul says, they are not worthy to be compared to the glory which is ours to come through faith in Jesus Christ. I know you know that. I just came to remind you of that, just like I was reminded yesterday, Sunday night. As I got to Wisconsin late, 9:30, and went into my grandmother's hospital room, and here's the woman who had so much energy, almost lifeless. Here's the woman who never had a loss for words. She could talk up a storm. She was totally silent. And yet, there lying in a hospital bed, like Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, still carrying around in her body the death of Jesus, so that by faith the life of Jesus might be manifested in her. In the midst of death, there was something better that breathed forth. In the midst of death, there was knocking at death's door. There was something better, the life that Jesus gives to all of us, not just her, the life that he gave his own life to win when he went to the cross and paid for all of our sins. The life that we celebrate today on an All Saints Day, because it's not a dead celebration, it's an alive celebration for those who have gone on. It's the victorious declaration that neither death nor life, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. This life isn't all there is. There's something better. And in the ministry, that's one of the great messages that you get every time that you do a Christian funeral. See, when you go and do a Christian funeral, it's not you just ministering. I found it to be God ministering to me. I found it to be God saying to me as I'm leading worship or ministering a family, I see God saying to me, "Preacher, trust me. What you see in that casket, it's not all there is. There's something better. Preacher, trust me, even not those sufferings, but the sufferings that you're going through right now in your life, the hard things that you're going through, there's something better. Preacher, trust me, look through that casket. There's something better." The whole message of our God is a message of life in the face of death. In Jesus, there's always something better. And isn't that just work? Doesn't it just fit? Isn't that just right in line, parallel with All Saints Day? I find for me, I don't really remember people on All Saints Day. I go further. I remember the place where the people that I remember are. And that's a place where there's a spot for you and a spot for me. Paul gives us this reminder. He says, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed." The best two words of the entire text. To us. Us who've been baptized into Christ. To us. We in Christ have the confidence that there's something better. Even in the face of whatever we look at today. This is for you. This is for me, to me, John Schmidtke. To you, Kent. To you, Jonathan. To you, Andy. To you, Dale. To you, Joel, my classmate. To you, Devin, field worker, wherever you are, I hope you're here. To you, Joel. To all the rest of you I don't know by name. To you. I just want to remind you today, there is something better than this life. There is something better. There is the glory of being with Jesus that is ours to come fully, even as it is ours presently. Amen.